On Friday, June 1st, for 24 hours, CITR is going to paint the airwaves rainbow. Starting at 6 a.m., CITR programmers will be producing an entire day of queer content in celebration of Pride season around the world, delivering messages of hope, fun, warning, and whimsy that may also include offensive language, sexual themes, and excessive on-air nudity. Listener discretion is advised, while indiscretions are strongly encouraged.
Queer Arts Festival in Vancouver is the annual showcase that celebrates queer arts and artists. The festival features a curated visual arts exhibit, a community art show, and three dynamic weeks of cutting-edge performances and workshops from all artistic disciplines, including music, dance, theatre, literary, and media art. This year's theme is Random Acts of Queerness. The festival runs July 31st to August 18th. For more info, visit queerartsfestival.com. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
The Positive Living Society of British Columbia proudly supports Queer FM Vancouver and the amazing programming at CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Join us for a walk along Vancouver's West End seawall and the Lost Lagoon on Sunday, September 23rd, and support those living with HIV and AIDS. All proceeds raised by the Scotiabank AIDS Walk for Life in Greater Vancouver become part of BC Persons with AIDS Society Complementary Health Fund. You can find out more information by visiting AIDSWalkForLifeVancouver.ca.
We have the pleasure of having Biff Naked and comedy relief from Darcy Michael. And we have Barb Snellgrove. We have Jared Knutson. We have Miss Mia. And, of course, the lovely Velvet Steel in the house. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Wow.
And also hiding in the background, we have Outlook Television here.
Hey, Outlook TV. How you doing? So we're all gathered together here to just chat a little bit about the gay and lesbian community and some of our experiences. Darcy Michael is less than half the man he used to be.
Yeah. Skinny little bitch.
Yeah, so, I lost Biff. I lost Biff holding a jug of milk.
So, for those of you who can't see this on the radio, you can look, you can check out OutTV. Darcy Michael, you've lost a whole bunch of weight.
Yeah.
What happened?
I found out that toilet paper and hot sauce is really filling.
Really?
And you can live off of it for weeks. It's great.
That's,
you know,
right.
Google is awesome for eating disorders. Oh. That's terrible. I'm awful. I'm down 120 pounds, and I work my ass off every day. And
literally,
I'm every time I eat, I'm looking at it going, how long do I have to run to burn this off? And then if it's too long, then I go for the carrots. It's weird. Like, I definitely don't smoke as much weed anymore, and I knit now to keep busy. I do. I knit scarves in the middle of summer. I'll be sitting at the TV watching a movie, because if not, every time I'd get stoned, I'd want to sit and watch a movie and just shovel food in my face. So I started knitting, and I started piano lessons. I'm 32.
Amazing.
I've never played piano.
The ADD from the...
Yeah, like, I'm just like, I just constantly... If I never stop moving, I will never get fat again. That's the whole...
So kind of like a shark then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's which is funny. Great for my husband. He loves that. He's really into fidgety Darcy.
And we've had Biff Naked on the show a couple of times, and you've been really fantastic, doing things for various charities, and you came and hung out with us for the Out Games. That was really fun.
It was very fun.
And one of those odd stories, if you think about people that are famous and so on and so forth, I was sitting at the Junction Pub having a kind of a recap for the Out Games, and was tweeting with Biff Naked, texting, and she says, oh, I just live up the block, I'll come on up, and just comes on up. And so all of my youth that we had trained to be radio broadcasters, none of them came, and all I had one cry.
Aww.
Because she missed Biff Naked. So anyway, this is the new Queer FM crew.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so tell us, we really hope the best for Nick.
Thank you. I'm a dog mom before I'm anything else.
Nick the Wonder Pooch.
I've been a dog mom for 15 years. Of course, I always say they took my ovaries away from me. Thank God they did. I tried getting knocked up all the time, but I digress. In breast cancer treatment, they took my ovaries. So basically, until that time, I kind of always assumed that I would pop out a kid. And in the meantime, lied to my dog his whole life, told him I pooped him out. you know, I breastfed him, but that's not illegal. That's not illegal. I always say, you know, the police come and go, you can't breastfeed a dog, it's cruel.
Oh, I've seen the video.
I'm feeding him.
If
anyway,
Tori Amos can do it with that's a pig, right, you can do it with a dog.
That's right. Pigs are actually smarter than dogs, which is why he was on Tori Amos's team.
Yeah.
But I digress. Yeah, Nicholas is my remaining living dog. And, you know, I've always thought that I would adopt a kid because I'm an adopted. And so now I just kind of look at it like, well, you know, perhaps everything for a reason with Nick, you know, probably, I don't know if he'll be around in 5 years, but by that time I'd like to probably think about adopting a kid. And I'm not interested in anyone under 3 or 5.
I've got a 13-year-old I'll sell you for a case of beer.
I'm going to take you up on it, I tell you.
Unless social services is watching.
It definitely is. It's the next phase of my life, I hope.
Well, we played a number of your tunes over the, forever, on Queer FM. But
as early as this morning.
I have never seen your space...
What? I know, that's what I'm saying.
And that's my childhood, like right there.
Oh, that's okay.
I literally run, the first song on my running thing is I Love Myself Today.
Ah, that's so nice.
I love myself
today. That's very nice.
Well, that's actually my favorite.
Wonderful.
Of yours is that one.
And very kind.
There are days when I'm not loving much of anything. And that song actually makes me always feel better.
Wonderful.
This is Jelena Stewart reporting for KHIV3 Downtown. It's getting real out here.
Just tell me what you need. We all want this to be over. So she says she wants to play. What? She wants to play.
Broken doll in pieces as I took the fall for you. You don't chomp, you left me free falling like space junk, burning up in the atmosphere of life. Well, I sound like a philosopher, but I'm a fool of a rocker, and I let you in with my heart that one last time. So I had it up, made up my mind. I'm gonna get up and out and why. You're all puffed up in a big red truck, but you're out of luck this time. Well, that's tough, cause I'm on fire, too hot to touch. In the chat room full of lovers on the line. Gonna step right up, smash out my soul. I'm gonna be proud and laugh.
Saint from Queer FM Hawaii.
We'll be right
you are
back.
Listening to Queer FM on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver.
The Living Spoonful is a volunteer-driven, nonpartisan society providing free, nutritious meals to people living with HIV and AIDS in Greater Vancouver, serving over 250 adults and children living with HIV/AIDS in the Greater Vancouver area. Loving Spoonful proudly supports Queer FM Van and the amazing programming on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. For more information, contact A Loving Spoonful via the web, www.alovingspoonful.org.
Hi, this is Biff Naked, and you're listening to Rainbow 24 on Queer Voices, CITR 101.9 FM.
Spaceman, oh spaceman, come rescue me from this calling.
Space suit thing and
oh, wow.
That was, yeah. I first time I'd ever seen it was today.
Oh, wow.
Now you get to enjoy it all.
The director that did that video was a German fellow, and at the time there was not, we did green screen, but there wasn't the colorization. So they had to have me wear green contact lenses, and I've never wore contacts in my life. So my eyes kept getting really irritated, and it was a really long process, and that's all I see. You can't even tell.
That's what you remember, though.
Yeah, you can't even see it. It was interesting. I made a lot of videos. I've been very, very lucky. Very lucky.
So when did you start your musical career?
Accidentally, when I was 18, I had no intention of being a musician, hated it, was a ballerina for 13 years.
Wow.
And thought I would go into a dance training, but I was too fat, back to the fat talk. I was too fat at 120 pounds to really compete with the rest of my... And let's be honest, was my on point so good? Probably not. So I went into university and met these guys with Mohawks who were idealists and activists, and they worked for Greenpeace. And, you know, that really resonated with me. My parents were academics and activists, so I kind of got messed up with them and joined their band. That was a punk rock band. We went on tour with bands like SNFU and NoFX right away, and that was it.
Wow.
I was done for, you know. And became a solo artist by accident again when I was 23, and I just started working with the same producer that I worked with on my first record on the new one.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, very excited.
So what can you tell us about the new record?
You know, I always wonder if this is my Sonny Came Home era. You know, Sean Colvin was a great artist for a really long time, then put out Sonny Came Home, and it was a massive hit for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people were just discovering her for the first time and were like, oh, well, she's not, you know, 17 like Britney Spears. She's like an older artist compared to those girls. And I feel like an older artist now as I kind of, you know, grow butterfly wings at 40. And I love it. I just love this phase in my life.
Now, both of you have been touched by cancer in one form or another. Biff, what's it done for your music and just your whole life? Because it isn't definitely an life-altering change to suddenly realize your own mortality.
I think that for me, because I was diagnosed with a heart aneurysm probably 5 years before I was diagnosed with cancer.
Jesus.
And, you know, I had a teenage life of misadventure, like many
That's
people.
That's how we word it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to use that now.
It's incredible to me. Like, I never had a mortality thing anyway. And a lot of people, it kind of coincides with any gratitude stuff that I kind of... spew out every day. It really has always been a big part of my existence.
Mm-hmm.
Every day that occurs, I can't believe A, I don't croak. B, I'm not murdered by a man, because I have a penchant for that kind of man. Spicy. Anyway. So, you know, it's been a lot of... by the time I was diagnosed with cancer, I was like, all right, this makes sense. You know, I've had a great life. I've done everything in life I wanted to do. I found God. I lost God. I found a man. I lost a man. I diddled a chick. I did this. I did Leno. I had the dogs. You know, it was like, yeah, cool. I'm done. I'm okay. And that's always been the way I live my life. So I never had a mortality fear, and it didn't change anything for me, except that I think finally I've chilled out a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think that I've always been kind of a dramatic girl, like the punk rock Nora Desmond, basically.
Yeah,
sad but true.
Sad
but true. But
I
have just, you know, kind of become a little more laid back.
Yeah.
And that's good for me. Mm-hmm. I think it's much more healthy.
Trust in who we are.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, I'm insane. I was like, I want to sleep. I got to live like, every day. Yeah, but no, it's. I think if you can beat it, it's the best thing that can happen to you at a certain point. For me, when it happened, it was perfect. I was like, yep, all right, you live this way for 30 years, now you get a chance to live a different way for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it...
God's saying settle down a bit, stop going 90 miles an hour.
Well, it's like settle down and focus, because, I'm still at the beginning, so I've still got to make the bank before I can die. I got kids to feed and stuff, so I'm like, all right, now I got to get this stuff done, and then 5 more years, then I'll, go and curl up for a nap. No.
The last time we had you on Queer FM, you accidentally referred to another gentleman as your husband.
That's my best friend, Carl, and we were talking about... Carl was with us at the interview, but we were talking about Jer, and I said, my husband, Carl. And can I clarify, too, that I got home that night, and Jer's like, well, I tuned into your little interview today. I was like, he hasn't watched and read anything I've done for 7 years. The one time he tunes in is he literally turned the radio on when I said, my husband, Carl, and turned it off. I was like, you didn't hear me begging for forgiveness for 3 minutes later? Like, oh.
I have a husband, which is my best friend.
Yeah.
She's always been my husband.
I have three wives, I have Jer and then Dustin and Carl, and that's, I have to talk to them every day, and I have to sleep with one of them, hopefully I get it right.
At least.
Well, I have an incestuous relationship with a motorcycle that's a lesbian. So,
wonderful.
Named Guinevere.
Yeah.
Now, just so you know, your dog's a little Maltese.
Yes, he is.
I grew up with a Maltese.
Aww.
So she brought her dog, Nick Naked, into the studio. Yeah, Nick has his own Twitter account.
I know, because what? I thought I was tweeting too many pictures of my dog.
Oh.
So I thought, okay, this is getting embarrassing. I have no life. People can clearly see what a loser I am. I'm going to make his own page, because then I could be more relevant with animal issues and stuff like that. Yeah. But I've discovered actually it makes no f***ing difference at all.
No.
And for all of our listeners out there and for people who are watching the television broadcast, what is Nick's Twitter page handle?
At Nick Naked is his Twitter handle.
She means it's at the Darcy Michael.
That's right. At the Darcy Michael.
If you
want to
see
my
pictures of my cats.
Exactly.
They're 40 pounders. I tweet a lot of them.
Oh, sweet.
Just
very sweet.
Bev, you were born in New Delhi.
Yes.
Raised partially in Kentucky in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Been in Vancouver for a number of years. Is this it? Or you're
well, you know, I always think
travel
that I'm going to live in Silver Lake or West Hollywood. I always kind of resonate there. But I've discovered as I get older, it's probably just the weather that I like more than anything, because I am such a big Vancouver fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived here since I was 19 years old. It's over half my life now. And I just got appointed to the City of Vancouver Women's Committee.
Hey, congratulations.
The whole city, I'm in love with this city. And
it is
just
a gorgeous place.
It's a part of me.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe strongly in Vancouver and all that. I want to say the brotherhood, but I just think the sense of the community support, just as a whole in general, people are fiercely proud. To live here, to be from here, to support different charity organizations.
Yeah.
And they're proud of all of the things that the city stands for them.
Yes.
I just think it's a very interesting culture.
I'm second generation born here.
Are you really?
When I was in high school, I figured everybody was from Vancouver. You get out of school and they go, where are you from? And you go, Vancouver. They go, yeah, but where were you born? And you go, Vancouver. And it's like crickets.
No, it's weird.
Look at you with the head.
I grew up out east and we moved out here when I was like 8 or 9. And everyone in my class was from Ontario. So it was really weird. I was like, oh, so like, you know where Pickering is.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
And like,
shout out
to General. I don't know where you got wine.
Oh, I just
we're in a bar, darling.
Oh, for Christ.
I'm going back to the whole cancer thing, too, because my family has been touched with it big time. My father's got prostate cancer right now. My mother was killed with colon cancer. Started off with cervical cancer. So my grandfather, my aunts, my cousins, everybody's going through it. But, I mean, as an artist, it's really hard to stay focused on what you're doing. So I'm always studying diets and different things. And at the end of the day, I think it's all about having a good energy, being positive and happy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I was a raw food vegan for 12 years then was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, many people that were vegans or that were raw foodists basically accused me of lying and said, there's no possibility that you can get cancer. Granted, these were idiots. And a lot of people do eat cancer preventative diets or hopes that they won't get cancer if they eat this preventative diet. I believe that my cancer was, I was young when I was diagnosed. It was incredibly aggressive. It was estrogen receptor positive and HER2 positive. I just think that had I not been eating the way I always have, and I still do, at the time, I don't think I would have survived. So I do know there is still, even though I was diagnosed, I think I was likely genetically predisposed. I'm a science geek. It does make sense that's
one
why.
Thing too, that I've talked to a lot of specialists as well, and idiots, as I like to say as well, is that, oh, you can't be pre-genetic, you're not genetically disposed to this, predisposed to this. I'm like, well, that's bullshit.
I think some of them, for sure,
around
you are.
Me and my family are. Some of them are dropping like flies.
Right, certainly. Yeah. Certainly.
And exposure, it's just social,
it is also
certain
like
conditions.
If you grow up with a family and you all live the same lifestyle, it's lifestyle based. But the thing about cancer is everybody's touched by it.
Absolutely.
It's a common thread. I'd say probably one of the most common threads. Because I talk about it in my shows now, and I find like the second you bring it up, people can kind of get their backs up because everybody in the room is affected
in some way.
And
it.
Also,
but
you're,
I think that's
you're touching
thing.
On their mortality,
well,
and
yeah.
their fear, or their subconscious
Absolutely.
Fear. People aren't. It's only now can we talk about it. Really, when we were young, it wasn't talked about, and in many cultures, it's still not talked about, and it's not the politeness of the day, just like death.
Yeah.
People wouldn't show up to visit because it could be contagious. Right?
That's why I find the culture in Mexico so amazing, because they embrace death so much,
yes.
and celebrate it, and they don't run from it. And I was there before I got diagnosed, and I still think there was a reason I had to see all that stuff to be like, okay, like even if I am going to die, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be surrounded by all these amazing people that I get to take with me, more importantly, they get to remember me.
Yeah, and the dead, I mean,
yeah.
What a wonderful, going and having a party in a graveyard and celebrating your family.
Oh, yeah.
What
yeah.
an amazing idea. Yeah.
Like, I think we all have to mourn differently anyways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, a friend of mine died when we were 23, and I just went to his gravesite for the first time, like, a month ago.
Wow.
And I couldn't, I was like, I'm not ready for
when
it.
You're
and then,
ready.
Like, 9 years later, I was like, I'm going to go and chat with Jeff. And I sat there for 3 hours, and, like, I totally just let it go. And it was like, oh, this is great. All right, And I always write best when I'm sad. So then I just sat in
the
car
that's
the
thing.
Wrote
that's
the new
yeah.
stuff, Like, that's
the best
yeah.
stuff. that's my musically, I just dry right up.
Well, that's my new song, I Hate Myself
Happy.
Today.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah. I haven't been to my mother since we interred her ashes. Of course, I did pull an AFAB moment and pass that with a vodka bottle pouring down.
Now that is a tribute. That is a tribute.
It's a glorious Swanson.
Well, and as opposed to my family, where we're Irish, Irish Americans, and so we went to a U.S. military funeral for my father, who was a naval officer, and being eldest.
Yeah.
And I showed up late because they gave me the wrong address.
I'm insanely funny at funerals. That's why my mom won't let me and my dad sit together.
So am I. Like,
I will sit there and under my breath just say the darkest things in the world. And my dad just can't. He'll be like, you're going to give me an asthma attack.
Oh, my God. If I go into palliative care,
I will come. I will come and tell you how awful you look every second of the day. It's a dark humor is one of my favorites.
Can I ask, obviously, in the last, few years and most of your life, you've gone through a lot of stuff. You've been through cancer and, a lot of other things. What is it that keeps you and that gets you up every morning? And because you just seem like kind of a go, go, go kind of girl.
Everything. Absolutely everything. The resiliency that human beings have is the most... it's the most magical thing in the world. I think I was about 23, and I was exploring. My parents were missionaries and really encouraged us in theology all our lives. And I think it was at that time, I was just kind of discovering Buddhism. And I had read a dissertation from a young monk. Every person that you see anywhere, walking down the street, working at the gas station, anybody, everyone has been through a sorrow in their life that is so profound to them.
Oh,
that they have been incapacitated with sobbing in their life. Every single person you ever see. And at the time that I read it, I was sitting on a city bus going down Davie Street, incidentally, and I had to shut the book. I remember sitting at the back of the bus, and I looked to my left, and I looked at all the other passengers on the bus, and went, oh my God. They've all been through this profound sadness, and many of them have suffered it by themselves or tried to navigate some type of loneliness or despair by themselves, and it broke my heart open wide. And it never closed, like, to this day. And I just, in cancer care particularly, being in the hospitals, which is why I still volunteer, just being around people who are going through something that for them, sometimes all they need is a hand in the well. Mm-hmm. You know, people are sinking, just be a pest, grab them. And I just think that it just comes naturally for all of us. We just have to take a minute to consider other people, and it's easy to be inspired.
Something I've been wanting to say to you. Are you sitting down? Pretty soon there'll be a day when I won't be around. I'm not trying to scare you or play on your sympathy. Just want to remind you that life is a symphony.
Kiss it like it's your first love. If I ever
mission of HIM is to strengthen gay men's health and well-being through trusted health promotion services and engaging community through volunteer involvement, online access, and events. If you're interested in contributing your thoughts or getting involved, check HIM out on checkhimout.ca. HIM proudly supports Queer FM Vancouver and the amazing programming on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver.
This without pissing off you guys. It's not that I don't trust people that don't smoke weed. I just don't get it, you know? I'm like, you don't smoke weed? How do you watch a movie? You know, like, how do you cook or drive your kids to school, right? Like, how do you leave the house without crying? What's your f***ing secret?
Hey, I'm Darcy Michael. You're listening to Rainbow 24 on Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM. I did it, Ma! I did it!
Everyone seems to be coming out with an album but me. You have an album.
Hey, mine's a DVD.
Well, you can't do
an album. That's one skinny bitch available now.
One skinny bitch available at DarcyMichael.com for a mere $3.
Yeah. All proceeds go to my daughter's braces.
Wonderful.
And so, my weed.
So tell us about this picture here. With the ironing board.
And ironing my booty shorts. Well, when you spend so much of your time as a fat, hairy gay man in the community and then you lose the weight, it's so much fun because it's like, hey, like, I almost think I'm sexy now. So let's just be ridiculous. This wasn't even a planned shot. This was at my, we were doing a bunch of promo shots with my photographer and he had his ironing board set up and I was going to put on these little booty shorts and screw around. And I was like, hey, let's do a shot like this and maybe, and it actually, we had a different name for the DVD and everything. And then when we took this shot, I was like, that's the cover, and we have to change the name. Wonderful. Which the producers hated because we were a week away from going, you know, with the Blitz. And so they had already edited the title screens and everything. And I was just like, well, you should have gotten me to sign those release forms earlier because unless you change the name, it's not going anywhere. So, yeah, it's a ride, you know. Like, I don't know if you guys follow stand-up, but like Louis C.K. in the States released his DVD in December and just kind of proved to me and other artists that the internet hasn't ruined the ability to make money from fans. It's ruined the ability for corporations to make money.
When we're together, I am alone. I dawdle down the street, shuffle my feet, don't wanna go home. There's an antique store. Thank you.
take a quick break and come right back with more interview just after this.
The Positive Living Society of British Columbia proudly supports Queer FM Vancouver and the amazing programming at CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Join us for a walk along Vancouver's West End seawall and the Lost Lagoon on Sunday, September 23rd, and support those living with HIV and AIDS. All proceeds raised by the Scotiabank AIDS Walk for Life in Greater Vancouver become part of BC Persons with AIDS Society Complementary Health Fund. You can find out more information by visiting AIDSWalkForLifeVancouver.ca.
So we were just chatting off air about the effect of social networking and things like Napster.
Oh, certainly. I think that with bands and artists, you know, Napster did happen in the mid-90s. And if you were already Britney Spears, you know, although it affected you, it didn't really make that much of a dent in your potential for earning and making a living. But for mid-level or indie artists like myself, I mean, that was the end of it. And even yesterday, just on Twitter, I saw a tweet where someone said, the Purge album, Bip Naked, download here. And I was like, how is that not forcibly financially ass-f***ing me?
Yeah.
You know, like, how is that? Also, it's just simply the way of the world. So the good thing about stuff like that is, if I was starting out today, and I never was in it for the money anyway. I've always been a self-employed artist like everyone is. And so if you've never had millions of dollars, then not having it doesn't really affect you.
You're not
going
to miss what you don't have.
No, you're always grateful for everything you have. We still all live hand to mouth like we did when we were 20. Whatever, that's life. But if you're an emerging artist now, I imagine it would be much better just for promotion and publicity. Then when we started, there were like fax machines.
Yeah.
You know, there were no computers. We didn't even have a cell phone on our first European tour.
Oh God, I remember when pagers were making it big, and
that's
I was like, a pager. And even then, I was behind the times because everybody had one. And I'm like, oh my God, I got a pager.
And I
think musically, especially with social media being the way it is, that I think for emerging artists, it's given them a bit more control of the publicity and marketing
even
than they had before.
When we, because we made this $3, because I was like, how low can we price this
so that
people aren't
going to
steal? And I just, you know, like, instead of stealing it, spend $3.
Right.
If you're in Britain, it's $1.98 if the rate's good. It's a different beast now, but like social networking, it's almost like homework to me. Like Twitter, I'm like, oh, if I tweeted today, like, you know, like,
see,
you get to go out there and just be like, I'm Biff Naked and I'm spreading joy to the world, and I'm like, I'm Darcy, I talk about my feelings for a living, you know, like, I have to say something funnier, move on, fucker.
Twitter for me is just a morning ritual that I do before I wake up my dog, you know. It's I always just go in there and say my morning namaste. I started getting into promoting different charities because I realized I could.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, yeah, you've got a voice.
You know, and I'm pretty specific with who I like to promote. I don't get paid for it. It's just who I believed in at the time. Pick a path and stick to it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you've worked hard to have a career and a following that you can reach out to people. You know, like when I see Kim Kardashian tweeting about a new handbag, I'm like, you know, why tell 10 million people about a new handbag? Why not tell them about a way they can donate a dollar today to help save the world? You know, like,
and perhaps she does.
Well, I'm sure she does.
Right.
But she's Kim Kardashian. She's still doing worse for the world, even if she is.
All of us at some point or another in our lives have been bullied, and if anything, it makes us better human beings, you know? Like, I have an amazing life. I make movies and TV shows and travel the world, and people pay to hear me talk about my feelings. If anything, I want to go and thank my bully, you know? Like, I just don't know which McDonald's he works at.
The only thing that I love about what's happening right now is people like Rick Santorum, in 20 years from now, is going to have to explain to his grandchildren why he chose to be on the wrong side of history, and that's the only solace we can take in that.
Yeah.
He's wrong, the same way they were wrong with the Black Rights Movement 30 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We know they're wrong.
Civil rights are civil rights.
Well, and that's just it. So all we have to do is keep screaming loud when we need to scream loud and be patient the rest of the time. But American politics is like talking about the WWE. It's ridiculous. us. It's all fake. It's all bullshit.
Well, you know, we could sit here and talk all day, but we're going to have to cut this off because Biff Naked has a cute little boy named Nick.
Yes.
At home.
Nick needs mommy.
And so we don't want to keep
Fur
you too
baby's long. Coming first.
I know. He's just got home from the vet today. He's on a lot of drugs, which because I, you know, quit drinking when I was in my early 20s because I was such a whore. because I quit drinking. And so I'm a straight edge girl. I won't take his medication, but just so everyone knows, in case I do need gas or bus money, I do have some butrophenol. And it's about...
Canadian showbiz.
$2 a pill. $2
a pill. $2 a pill.
$2 a pill. Thank you for having us on
here. Thanks, guys.
You guys are fantastic, and there's little memories of Vancouver that are going to go with me to the islands.
Yes.
And
best of luck.
And we're coming and having papayas. Spicy.
Queer FM, you're listening to 24 hours of radio broadcasting on 101.9 CITR Radio and the Rainbow Voices. We'll be back with more with Queer FM after this.
There's always a broad that will spark the smoke that'll entangle you into the seedy half-truths backroom deal gone awry. And you foolishly will promise that sweet-ass angel with the eyes of a blind assassin that you walk through fire to get her out of the cruel cast-iron grip of this unforgiving underworld. God, I'm a sucker. All it takes is a pair of long legs that have come through slaughter and a damaged upbringing hard to pull me back into this racket. Here I am out in Plains Avenue like a sitting target with the Rollins brothers out for my blood and cutthroat revenge. Word on the street is they put a price tag on my head 4 days ago. There's only so long you can lay low in the shadow of this dim-lit city's underbelly, full of weak-willed thieves, cunning backstabbers, and sex fiend stenches. Now I gotta meet this head-on, face the minor key music. Crazy thing is, Rosie, view me, I got no regrets. Though the mob will make damn sure my blood is spilled for your unpaid debts.
Flashback head tripping to the hiss of the house. Only breathe cause computer chip. Into the bad impulse night with those record pack grip. Through the cultural clashing, the lashing with a merciful whip. And through you got no choice but your voice may stutter and skip. And 2 or 5 days I rain complaining you must. Into the battle next level and nothing you left in the dust. Into when the begs foreclose your home and a roam is in God we trust. Into as they corrupt your sex appeal. And all you feel is shame and disgust. Into when you get scared, I'm prepared to return the verdict unjust. Smart as a snake. Gentle as a dove. Come back to the dungeon. Back to the dungeon. Come back to the dungeon. Come back to the dungeon of love. Back to the dungeon. Back to the dungeon. Come on back to the dungeon. Come back to the dungeon of love. Back to the dungeon of love. Hear the choir sing a song. Dust yourself off. Make haste, there is no place to make up for the time to waste. To the choir, no time to retire. Get back on the geese and you will bring us the tape. Whatever ship you're in, into the walking dead to make your head spin. Into the damnation and alienation of those who hate to see you win. Into those frustrated and bruised, you gotta face the news to begin. Into your unanswered prayers, kid, no one cares where you've been. You're smart as a snake and gentle as a dove. Come back! Back to the dungeon, come back to the dungeon, come back to the dungeon of love. Back to the dungeon, back to the dungeon, come on back to the dungeon, come back to the dungeon of love. Back to the dungeon of love.
crucifixion has never been about the devil and God. It's always about a bride. And resurrection is just a sweet-ass angel's kiss. And heaven, you dirty rat, looks like this.
And finally, one of the most unusual pre-race prayers you will ever hear.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you've brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Rouse and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for Jim, Performance, and Pilots in the RO7 engines. Thank you for Sonoma Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires to bring performance and power to the track. Boogity, boogity, boogity. And my two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray a blessed drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen. Boogity, 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 amen. Boogity, 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 amen. Blessed drivers and use them tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking high.
How cool was that?
Boogity, 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 subscribe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's good for your health?
What?
The app Songify. You can songify yourself.
Stranger, if you can.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
And welcome to the Arts Report special presentation for Rainbow 24 CITR's LGBTQ Marathon. I'm going to be with you guys from 2 to 4. Are you excited? I'm excited. I'm really excited to be able to present some really fun interviews and a little bit of music for the next 2 hours. I'll give you a bit of a rundown as to what we are going to be doing together. I have a couple of interviews from some local queer writers. We have an unaired interview from Daniel Zamparelli and some interviews with Alex Leslie. Daniel recently released Davy Street Translations with Anvil Press, and Alex Leslie recently released People Who Disappear from Freehand Press, and she's actually going to have a bit of a reading for us as well. And then after, we are going to listen to a sit-down I had with Sad Mag. It's very literary hour, actually, where we talk about Sad Mag, which is a super queer-friendly and queer-active magazine about some of their past issues, including their queer history issue, their current issue about transplant, East-West transplants, and their future issues about glamour and animals and nature in Vancouver, Venomo. So it was really fun. And then at the end of the hour, we are going to have a bit of a critical discussion with Peter Dickinson, who was a performance theory professor of mine in SFU and is still a performance theory professor for a lot of people. And he's very active in the local arts community. And we're going to talk to him about the meaning of arts in Vancouver and what that does for public and queer participation.